Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Democracy and Solidarity, On the Cultural Roots of America's Political Crisis, by James Davison Hunter, examines why democratic life in the United States feels increasingly brittle, distrustful, and prone to moralized conflict. Rather than treating polarization as a temporary fever caused only by elections, media ecosystems, or policy disagreements, Hunter situates the crisis in deeper cultural patterns that shape how citizens interpret reality and relate to one another. Drawing on his long-standing work in cultural sociology and public life, he explores how shared meanings, institutions, and moral vocabularies once helped bridge difference, and why those integrative forces have weakened. The book focuses on the tension between democratic contestation and the kind of social solidarity needed for people to accept losses, recognize opponents as legitimate, and sustain common institutions. By tracing cultural roots, it encourages readers to look beyond partisan blame and toward the underlying habits, narratives, and social arrangements that make cooperation possible. It is a timely framework for understanding the present and imagining democratic repair. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, democracy needs more than procedure. A central theme is that democracy cannot survive on rules alone. Elections, courts, and constitutional checks matter, but they depend on citizens and leaders who believe the system is legitimate, even when it delivers outcomes they dislike. Hunter frames the political crisis as a problem of civic culture. The shared expectations that make losing tolerable, compromise honorable, and opponents recognizable as fellow members of a common project. When those expectations erode, politics becomes a battle over total victory rather than ongoing governance. The result is a cycle of distrust in institutions, suspicion of motives, and refusal to grant good faith to the other side. This topic emphasizes how democratic stability rests on informal norms such as restraint, reciprocity, and respect for the dignity of political adversaries. It also highlights that democratic life is relational, not merely transactional. Citizens must be able to imagine a future together by shifting attention from policy debates to cultural preconditions. The book invites readers to ask what moral and social resources are required for democratic procedures to work, and what happens when those resources are depleted. Secondly, the cultural roots of polarization and moral conflict. Hunter is known for analyzing how cultural divisions can become comprehensive, shaping identity, morality, and everyday interpretation. In this book, the political crisis is linked to deeper moral disagreements that are not easily negotiated because they touch ultimate meanings, what counts as truth, whose experiences define reality, and what constitutes justice and the good life. Polarization, in this view, is not only a disagreement over programs, but an intensification of rival moral frameworks that organize communities and institutions. As these frameworks harden, political conflict becomes moralized, and compromise can feel like betrayal. The topic also points to the role of cultural entrepreneurs, institutions, and status competition in amplifying conflict, turning disagreements into identity markers. When group belonging is tied to moral righteousness, opponents are easily cast as threats rather than partners in a shared democratic experiment. This helps explain why arguments about facts, expertise, and authority so often collapse into suspicion and contempt. The book pushes readers to see polarization as embedded in cultural formation, not just in messaging, and therefore requiring cultural repair rather than only electoral or media fixes. Thirdly, solidarity is a social achievement. Solidarity is treated not as sentiment but as a social achievement built through institutions, practices, and shared narratives. Hunter emphasizes that solidarity involves obligations across difference, a willingness to shoulder costs for strangers, and a recognition that citizenship entails mutual responsibility. In a pluralistic society, solidarity is difficult because people hold divergent beliefs and live in segmented networks. Yet democratic life requires some measure of mutual identification, enough to maintain common goods like public education, infrastructure, and impartial law. This topic explores how solidarity is generated and why it can weaken through geographic sorting, fragmented media, declining civic associations, and institutional incentives that reward outrage. It also examines the difference between thin solidarity based on abstract principles and thicker forms rooted in local life, shared work, and overlapping relationships. When solidarity erodes, individuals retreat into enclaves and interpret national life through enemy images. The promise of this theme is diagnostic and constructive if solidarity is built. It can be rebuilt, but only by attending to the concrete settings where people encounter one another and learn the habits of mutual regard. Fourthly, institutions, elites, and the contest over legitimacy. Another major topic concerns institutions and the people who lead them. Democracies rely on institutions that mediate conflict and translate competing demands into workable policy. When institutions lose legitimacy, Every outcome appears manipulated, and power becomes the only believable currency. Hunter analyzes how cultural change interacts with institutional performance, including the ways elites communicate, signal loyalties, and frame public problems. Institutions can become battlegrounds for symbolic dominance, where hiring, curricula, professional standards, and public messaging are interpreted as political conquest. This accelerates distrust, especially when citizens feel that institutions no longer represent them or treat them fairly. The topic also addresses the feedback loop between institutional polarization and citizen behavior. As institutions appear captured, citizens respond with cynicism or maximalist tactics, which further degrades institutional credibility. The book encourages attention to legitimacy as a cultural phenomenon sustained by transparency, competence, and shared moral language. Restoring democratic health, therefore, requires more than reforming procedures. It requires rebuilding trust in the mediating structures that make pluralism governable. Lastly, paths toward democratic renewal and civic repair. The book ultimately points toward renewal by focusing on cultural and civic repair rather than quick partisan victories. This theme highlights the need to rebuild the conditions that allow disagreement without social rupture, humility about one's own fallibility, habits of listening, and the ability to distinguish opponents from enemies. It also underscores the importance of institutions that cultivate civic virtue, including schools, religious communities, voluntary associations, and local networks where people cooperate across lines of difference. Renewal is framed as practical and incremental, requiring citizens to invest in relationships and shared projects that reduce caricature and build mutual recognition. Rather than relying solely on national politics, the emphasis often falls on the intermediate spaces of civil society, where solidarity can be practiced and learned. This topic suggests that democratic stability is sustained by a moral ecology, norms, narratives, and institutional incentives that reward honesty, restraint, and reciprocity. By diagnosing the cultural roots of crisis, the book provides a framework for identifying leverage points where civic life can be strengthened, helping readers move from despair to constructive engagement. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who sense that America's political dysfunction is deeper than party strategy, and want a cultural explanation that connects everyday life, institutions, and moral conflict. But NADA, it will appeal to students of politics and sociology, civic leaders, educators, clergy, journalists, and any citizen trying to understand why public disagreement now so often feels existential. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual by clarifying how solidarity is formed and how legitimacy is lost. The book helps readers see where their own habits, organizations, and communities can either intensify division or reduce it. It encourages a shift from outrage to diagnosis, and from diagnosis to rebuilding the social conditions that make democratic cooperation possible. Compared with many books that focus narrowly on social media, election mechanics, or a single partisan narrative, this one offers a broader framework centered on culture and civil society. That wider lens makes it valuable across ideological lines and more durable over time, since cultural patterns change more slowly than headlines. It is worth buying for readers who want a coherent map of the crisis and a grounded direction for democratic renewal. If you would like to support James Davison Hunter, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.